David here. Many's the time I've been guiding, and a walker would ask me, "What's your day job? What's your profession?" And my answer to that would always be, "Well, look, I have three jobs, three really interesting jobs, but this is the one I like the most, being a walking tour guide. The main job, I was a television journalist. I was a news editor for an international television news agency for about 25 years, and that was fun work. But I said, I'm really a retreaded academic. In fact, that's what brought me to London. I did a PhD on Dickens at University College London. And for 33 years, I worked as the lecturer in Shakespeare at a summer school for an American university that had a program here in London. And I could just about fit that in with the editing work, the journalism. We worked a 7-day fortnight, 11 and a half hour shifts, and two of the 7 days were weekend days. So I could just about make it work. So yeah, for 33 years I lectured in Shakespeare at an American university at a summer school here in London. And then, of course, the third job, strictly part-time, was being a London Walks guide. And that was the one that I still do, and the one that I like the most, as enjoyable as the other two were. But I can remember, speaking of that lecturing job, I can remember talking to the students about Shakespeare's Globe Theatre, the Elizabethan Theatre, and telling them that that was the most flexible vehicle for the drama that had ever come along. You could do more with it as an acting space. The range and flexibility was just tremendous. And in fact, that remained the case for several centuries. The flexibility, the range of possibilities would not really be exceeded until the 20th century and the invention of the cinema. But in relation to that, I thought we might take that insight and apply that to virtual tours. They afford us possibilities, they give us range that we just don't have on a normal walking tour. I mean, just for starters, I've long said, only half jokingly, that what London really needs is a dome. London won't be complete until it's got a dome, and we get some protection from the elements, from the rain. Well, effectively, the virtual tour gives us a dome. You don't get wet if you go on a virtual tour. You don't have to carry an umbrella, etc. There's also the fact that it's an extremely efficient use of your time. You don't have to spend a half an hour or more getting to a meeting point, and then half an hour or more getting back to your hotel or flat or home, wherever it is. There's no traffic noise. That's an advantage. You don't have to worry about losing your walkers in the crowd if you're the guide. And of course, there's also the business of the pollen. Every guide on every walk will take at least one bottle of water. But there's always a couple of weeks, it's in May, I think, late April, that we call two-bottle walks or two-bottle times. And this is when the pollen from the plane tree appears. And it's absolutely tiny, and it's got these vicious little hooks that you don't feel. But of course, what happens is it can and does get into your mouth and hooks into your vocal cords, and you can't shift it. It's very difficult. You have to drink lots and lots of water and cough. But you have no choice. You have to shift it because what happens is your mouth is moving, but there's no sound coming out. So we don't have to contend with that. That's not a problem on a virtual tour. But really, the most exciting thing is the range, where you can go and what you can show people. And there's lots of examples. Let's just to, you know, take as an example the Kensington, the Secrets and Sights of Kensington virtual tour that I guide. When I do the walk as a shoe leather on pavement walking tour, in Kensington Square, I talk about a very fine house that sold a couple of years ago for £18 million. And I make the point that to get that into perspective, all you need is to go up to the high street and turn right, and you go along about 300 yards. The street name changes, it becomes Kensington Gore. And there's a house there that at the same time that this house in Kensington Square was fetching £18 million, that house up on Kensington Gore went for £300 million. And to get that into perspective for you, I say that when this house in Kensington was fetching £300 million, the Instagram guy, who's one of the wealthiest people on the planet, was in the process of buying the most expensive house in San Francisco for $35 million. So here's this Kensington house commanding about 10 or 12 times what the most expensive house in San Francisco cost. Anyway, when I do the walk as a shoe leather on pavement tour, it's word picture painting time. But when I do it as a virtual tour, I can actually put up on the screen a picture of this house in Kensington Gore that fetched £300 million. Barker's, the great department store. Now we go by that on the live tour, the re-tour, the real tour. I talk about it, and of course I can show a picture of it on the virtual tour. But what's also nice is, and I can really do this comfortably, easily, you really wouldn't want to do it probably on the real tour, I can show them a photograph of John Barker, and I tell the story. Barker was born in 1840, he's 11 years old, and his father brings him up to Crystal Palace, the Great Exhibition. And this experience was formative for this 11-year-old kid. It was life-changing. He vows then and there that he's going to pursue a career in retail. It all starts there. Well, that's fine. That's all word picture painting. But in fact, on the virtual tour, I can show them a photograph of the Crystal Palace, an image of the Crystal Palace. I think that's a big plus. When we get to Millionaire's Row, I talk about the cage. It was a house up at the northern end, and it was used as an interrogation center for Nazi war criminals in World War II. It was the second most important interrogation center after Nuremberg. Now, on the real tour, that's word picture painting because it's about 200 yards, 250 yards up Millionaire's Row from us. And we don't walk up there just to see it. But, of course, I can show people on the virtual tour. I can put up an image of the house. So, again, that's another big plus. The Albert Memorial, we do not go there on the real tour. It's just too far, but I can show people a photograph of the Albert Memorial. And what's fun, in my researches, in my endless digging, a couple of years ago, I discovered that Howard Carter, he was the archaeologist who discovered King Tutankhamun's tomb, the Pharaoh's tomb, and that he spent the last years of his life at 49 Albert Court. 49 Albert Court, it's part of those Victorian blocks that kind of surround the Albert Hall. And I was really intrigued by this. I actually went along to that particular block, and I found out where exactly that flat 49 was. And it turns out it was on the top floor, and it's the flat that's absolutely closest to the Albert Hall. And this really haunted my imagination. I thought he was dying. The last years of his life, he dies in 1939. The major discovery is 1922. He had Hodgkin's disease. But I used to think of him standing at the window, thinking back to, 1922 and to his discovery, and looking out at the Albert Hall, which is a remarkable thing, and looking north, looking toward Kensington Gardens. And that image just stayed in my mind. Well, you can tell the story, but I never tell the story on the live tour because we don't go up there. You can't see the Albert Hall, etc. But I can do this. I don't always do it because it changes every week, but I can do this on the virtual tour, and I can show them a photograph of Howard Carter. I often will set them up. I put the photograph up and say, "Do you recognize him?" And of course, none of them do. And then I follow that with an image of him kind of kneeling beside the Pharaoh's tomb, and then everybody gets it instanta. So that's all a great deal of fun. And I think of his tomb. He's in Putney Vale Cemetery, and the inscription, and it's haunting. This, the inscription reads, "May your spirit live. May you spend millions of years, you who love Thebes, sitting with your face to the dome, north wind, your eyes beholding happiness." Well, the business of the dome, and he's facing north when he's in his flat, knowing that he's dying, and that all just seems to work. But what makes it work, what makes it gel, come together, is actually having the image before you. And then also the last line's haunting as well. This is on the tomb. "O night, spread thy wings over me as the imperishable stars." So yeah, all of that, the images. But I think as well, what's really important here is vantage point. For example, on the walk, I often have people looking up at cornices, and some of these buildings are, these are 6-7 story high buildings, and what I'm pointing out to them is quite a way, quite a distance away from the, you can see, but it's quite a distance away from the naked eye. It's better obviously if you've got opera glasses, a pair of binoculars to see them, but nobody does. But you can still make it out from the ground, which is fine. But of course, with the virtual tours, I can put up a photograph that's taken with a zoom lens, and so they can see up close. They can really see the particulars, the details, and also faces. I talk on that walk about the most remarkable small literary house on the planet. It's got close connections with 6 famous 20th century writers, the American poet Ezra Pound, the American poet William Carlos Williams, the American poet Robert Frost, T.S. Eliot, also, of course, an American poet, Laurie Lee, author of the best-loved autobiography in the English language, cited with Rosie, and D.H. Lawrence. And it's just a mention, a matter of naming names when you're actually out on the walk. But with the virtual tour, I can put up images of these men. And you can really, I love this, you can refine this. I know when they were associated with that tiny little house. Pound had rooms there, and they were young men. So, I've managed to find a photograph of a very youthful Robert Frost, a photograph of a pretty youthful D.H. Lawrence, etc., etc. The Laurie Lee thing is fun. Laurie Lee comes, his connection with the house comes 30 years later. Living in what had been Pound's rooms was Catherine, who he was courting. It was a successful courtship, but he would come here and pay court to her. So I show the two of them, photographs of them, and then you know, everybody knows that and loves that passage. It's really the most famous, best-loved autobiography in the English language, Cider with Rosie. And in that opening, he talks about being, what, 3.5 years old, something like that. And his mother moved him and his siblings from Stroud to a little village in the Cotswolds, to a cottage, Rosebank Cottage, it was called. And I thought, yeah, we can do this on this virtual tour. We're just going to take a little detour to the Cotswolds. And we do. Everybody gets to see Rosebank Cottage, which is, you know, so famous in the annals of English biography. One final point in terms of vantage point, you know, with this vehicle, this extremely flexible vehicle, that the virtual tours vehicle, you can get up above. You can look at look down on rooftops. I do this, for example, the rooftop gardens. We can go up there. We weren't always able to go up there. If there was a function on, private function, off limits. And in fact, it's been closed now for about 2 years. We're hoping it's going to get opened up again to the public and people will have access to it. But it was a question of painting word pictures when we couldn't go up there. But of course, I can show images of there, so we can go up there. But yeah, getting up above, for example, Kensington Palace. Now, to do this on a live walking tour, I'd have to have a truckload of jet packs, which I would have to strap on to everybody in the walking tour, and you know, up we'd go, 80 feet up in the air. This is all tongue in cheek, of course, but you can do this in a virtual tour. You can get up above and look down and survey those grounds and pass along over them and point out where Harry's cottage was and point out where Prince William's 20-room apartment is, and where Diana's rooms were, etc., etc. That's fun. Yeah, you can do that with this vehicle. You can't do it on a shoe leather on pavement walking tour. Okay, that's enough for today.